Bong bong bing bong bing bing and silence. That's right, episode 65 on the Bus Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, anyone, you, who, whoever is out there. Welcome back on the bus. Glad to have you guys around for 65 episodes of the show. Hope everybody's doing well. What is going on today? It's a Monday. It is a good day to get the shit going. No better way to get the day going or the week going than making sure you're going to check out that On the Bus Podcast YouTube channel or the podcast apps wherever you do listen to your podcast. Make sure you're subscribed and get checking out our amazing content that we just got back from our South American trip that we're still working on. We're still working on recovering hard drives, getting things set up. We just got another video released this week on how to make cocaine, 16 steps. Quite the interesting video. Go down YouTube, check it out. Give it a watch. Give it a listen. Let us know what you think. Give it a like, subscribe. Those things are huge. Thank you guys so much for always doing that. And with all the new people, welcome on the bus. And before we get into today's guest, we got to go back over affiliates, sponsors, you know the works. So we're going to start over with Amazon.com. It's been a blast. It's also been toxic knowing that I can just shop, click, and all this stuff just gets sent to my house so fast and so quickly. You spend a lot more money being back home and having access to that Amazon, in a place where Amazon can actually ship you stuff. Now, they'll get your stuff anywhere, whether you're in South America, North America, the poles, Europe, Africa, Amazon will find a way. It's why they are the best. And because we all know you shop on Amazon, because we know you love getting all this crazy equipment, whatever it may be, we're not judging, you can do whatever you want. Go over to onthebuspodcast.com and make sure you're shopping through that Amazon portal at the top of the homepage. Web design coming soon, but I will continuously make sure that you have a great place to shop through the Amazon portal. And thank you so much, everybody who has. And last but not least, Green Roads World, the largest CBD manufacturer out in Florida. Guys, these people are taking off. They are exploding across the country. It's been so great to see their growth and development since the beginning. Love the founder, love the teams, they're great people over there, and it's been great, especially dealing with inflammation, trying to get back in shape after not exercising that well while on the road or eating that too healthy. Having that CBD oil at the end of the night, after workouts, I mean, for me, I can take it middle of the day, in the morning, it's been great helping me deal with those muscle soreness, fatigue, mostly inflammation I'm getting from training. Guys, and it's so multifaceted. You could use it for any kind of inflammation that may be ailing you. And again, remember, inflammation is the body's natural reaction to any ailment or injury. So we all have it. We all get it. Get the best way to treat it. GreenRoadsWorld.com. And On the Bus Podcast is giving you a 15% discount. That's ONTHEBUS, one word, all lowercase. And give yourself or your friends or family or whoever you make gifting giving them the gift of good health. Now, on to today's guest. We have a return guest. He was actually episode number 2, Tal Oren, aka the Traveling Clap. That's where you're gonna find him on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the works, etc. You know, we met Tal back in the day, and actually we've been able to run into him. He just finished circumnavigating the entire globe, and there is no other social outlier or early adopter than this guy. I've literally seen his growth from 100 YouTube subscribers to now 60,000 YouTube subscribers, where he can make this his everyday. He can get on the road, he can travel, and he can go do the things that he loves and bring the stories back to everyone else, home, abroad, or people that may never have ever been able to get out of their homes, their lives, their villages, their cities or towns. This guy embodies the On the Bus message almost better than anybody else we've met or that we know. It's a pleasure to call him a friend, and we're so happy and glad we got to steal him for this quick 30 minutes here in New York. Love you, Tal. Let's get the bus rolling.
You're really cool, though.
It is.
It feels awesome. This is way cooler than the On freaking Dodo Crossing podcast.
No, you guys were great.
This is like,
I enjoyed your guys' podcast.
I enjoyed it too. But this is professional. This is really cool.
Thank you, dude. And, you know, the crazy thing is, you just rent all the way around the world.
Oh, we're live. we're doing the podcast.
I got you again. Same thing happened on the.
Did I happen the first time too?
You were like, what? We're recording?
Okay, we're going. All right.
On how the show went. So you just circumnavigated the globe. I caught you in the middle of your circumnavigation.
Yes, sir.
We were hanging out in Japan, right?
Osaka, Japan.
The place to get good food in Japan.
Oh my God, this is so good.
And now, we're not even Florida. We're both Floridians.
Yeah.
And now we're in New York.
New York City, baby.
I'm here. I'm a resident now. Scary.
Brandon's moved out.
Moved out or moved in?
I think moved in.
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
I'm in New York now. How long are you here?
I've been here for like 2-3 days now, and I'm leaving in 2 days. And it's been just a journey of food and a culinary experience all throughout the United States now. We've been focusing on food, mostly pizza, because we realize it's a huge trend on YouTube.
I know we're supposed to come out with you guys, so what are we going to do Saturday now?
So today we did a dollar pizza video.
Okay.
Exploring the best dollar pizza in New York, but there's a huge controversy between Chicago and New York. Who made the best pizza? Because pizza came to the United States via New York. It's the first pizza place in the whole U.S., New York City. So on Saturday, we are going to do like the, not gourmet pizzas, but what are known to be like the best pizzas in New York City.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. I'm so in. We'll be tasting it. It's going to be cool.
There were points in South America, or like even my girlfriend came to Florida right before I came back up here. And I was like, oh, I just really want a pizza. But like, Brandon, no. Hold your fucking mouth. Hold it. You're going to go live in New York. You can wait to get a good pizza. Don't taint your pizza taste bites at all.
Yeah.
You got this.
I
got
to say, like, even the dollar pizzas today, for a fucking dollar, the flavor that you get from the pizza is like, wow. It's real good. I was impressed.
I mean, I really brag about this. Like, New York pizza, even into Italian pizza. Mm. So even when I was living in Kuwait, there's plenty of Italians I knew and Italians I met. And like, they'd be like, oh, start bragging about Napolitano pizza.
That's
like,
amazing.
Hold your tongue, guys. Have you been to New York? Have you had a New York pizza? I didn't say like, hey, it's better.
No.
When you have both, because I've had both, we can discuss this. But until then, I don't care about your bourgeoisie Napolitano pizza.
I'll tell you where I stand on it. I went to Napoli during this round the world trip, circumnavigating the globe as I did. And we went to Napoli, to Naples, and we did a whole pizza tasting. Like, we did the best pizza in Naples, and we went to like 6 or 7 places in Naples. And I found that I think we got it okay in the U.S., like Chicago, New York. It's great. It's good. But my freaking goodness, you can taste the love and the Italian passion in a classic Napoli pizza. You can taste the, like, streets and the back doors and the sewer coming out of the ground. It just glazes the pizza here and there, and it all adds to the flavor, you know?
Wow.
With the pomodoro tomatoes, you know? It's so good.
For people at home, I mean, Daniel's not here right now, but you really just captured Daniel's spirit.
Oh, yeah.
In that description of color, food, emotion.
It's a moving
and spirituality
experience.
Spirituality and food. That's so Daniel right there. He's definitely in spirit here right
it's
now.
It's moving, man. Food is how you gain like that perspective. Especially, I think Italy is like one of the best places to do like a food trip. You get, oh my God, you get all the flavors. Everything is so vibrant there when it comes to food.
When's the last time you were there?
In Italy was I got right off the cargo ship. I was there for like 4 or 5 days in Naples. I think back in September.
And this is a part of that circumnavigation.
Part of the circumnavigation, yeah.
So you started on a freighter ship to Italy.
No. We flew from Miami to Paris, Paris to Israel. And then I was in Israel, and I did Jordan for a little bit. And we did Israel for like 3-4 months. And then I started going backwards on myself via cargo ship through Cyprus to Italy. And
it's not your first freighter ship, though.
Nope. Number two.
Not many people can say they've been on a freighter ship. You're like, this is number three, number four.
Yeah. I'm working on a really cool one coming soon. It's going to be a dangerous one. That's what I'm...
You sound like on the bus material.
Yeah, man. I've been on the bus since day one. Are you kidding me?
What's this one going to entail? You got any details for us?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you the whole scoop. So, essentially, cargo ship journeys, they rate on a scale of danger. Yeah. So, like, it depends on what ocean that you're in and the surrounding nations and certain, like, laws and stuff that you can go through. But Somalia is one of the last places on Earth with real-life pirates. Mm-hmm. Like, Somali pirates is a famous thing. And so there's a certain strait that you pass. Once you pass through the Suez Canal in Egypt, if you go through a certain way, and you continue down there, you'll have Somali pirates at some time attack a cargo ship. And I obviously, every sea that I've gone through so far, so we did like the Mediterranean and the Atlantic and the Straits of Gibraltar and all these places that I've traveled through in the Caribbean a little bit, there was nothing very dangerous other than once we hit a hurricane and once we hit like these crazy wind shears in Italy. But I want to experience what it's like to pass through these countries that are known to be like pretty dangerous.
Well, I mean, Somalia is like one of those places where there's just, they kind of have a government now, and but it's only in certain areas where you respect the rule of law.
Yeah.
And I know it's still a big thing, and it's a really debated and heavily debated issue, because there's the basis of the pirates is, well, all of these freighter ships that have come through there, because that is one of the most busiest seaports in the world, instead of going all the way around Africa, well, let's just cut through the Suez right into the Indian Ocean.
Yep.
It's a great passageway. However, they say it's polluted, it's destroyed a lot of the water, they can't fish anymore, so it's more profitable for them to go raid these ships.
Oh, that's I never heard that perspective. That's really interesting.
Really? Well, that's like the whole basis of the movie they did with Tom Hanks.
Right.
What was that called?
I don't know. I still haven't watched it. Everybody in my comment section is like, "Have you watched the Tom Hanks movie?" I'm like, "No, I haven't gotten a chance to yet."
I haven't watched either. When you travel, you don't watch movies that much.
Yeah, well, you're living it. You know, you're living it.
We're trying to make a movie.
I feel you.
That's fascinating. When are you guys looking to do that?
I wanted to do it because I want to do a big trek through India. I want to do like 3-4 months in India. So I'm looking on my way there at some point, going to Africa, Ethiopia, and then maybe going up to Egypt and boarding one there, or maybe doing the same thing I did going through Israel and then back to Italy and boarding through. Whatever it is, I know it's going to be expensive. It'll probably be the most expensive one I've done yet. So I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work into like making content about it, even though at this point, I'm hailing myself as it. I don't know if it's true, but I still remain the king of cargo ship content on YouTube. Number one, pretty much the only one. Nobody's really tried to topple what I've done. You know, people have asked questions, but no one's had the kind of the gumption to go out and do it. So I'm still there. I'm still owning all the categories. Yeah. So I'm hopefully I want to remain king of the cargo ship stuff. So by doing this, I think I'll solidify my spot. I would have covered every aspect of it. So hoping to.
Let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know. I could use vacation.
I don't know if it's going to be much of a vacation, but...
You don't know how I define vacation, sir.
It's true, too. I think we have the same idea.
Yeah. You've heard stories. I mean, toe chopped off. Blum's got pneumonia.
Yeah.
We're a wreck. We're barely alive.
The crew's barely hanging on.
Even today, no sleep, packing. I'm carrying those three giant... You can see the other ginormous bag.
Do you guys know Brandon just got off his flight? Like, this is Fresh Flight Podcast right here.
Fresh Flight Podcast. We wish we can go live on this one. Our surroundings are not cooperating as best as we want to. Plus, yeah. I came in a little late, Tal short on time. So we're trying to get into the thick and the meat of things. My shoulders are fucking on fire right now. So tight. And Tal's got to go to a comedy show. So we're trying to squeeze this one in. Maybe we get a part two in. Who knows? Mm. We got time.
We got options.
We got...
I might be in New York again. You never know. I really like the city. I'm falling in love with it like every day. So I might come back soon. Especially, we'll see how the content does, you know? It's better than Miami, I think.
Mm. Well, you haven't gotten home yet, but how are you dealing with just coping with just, okay, today, I don't know what to do today? Or because even, like, I think we experienced this, I definitely experienced this, is we did have kind of a structure and schedule on the road. Like, we're linking up with the traffic zebras in Bolivia, and we got to go there on time, and we got to go shoot this video. And then we got to shoot the video, and we got to record everything, intros, outros, get this scene done. It's actually pretty structured.
Yeah.
And now you're going back, and if you're not making a video, if you're not recording a podcast, I'm kind of like, all I got to put in my hands is my dick, and I mean, I got nothing else. And you're kind of lost.
Yeah.
So that's the craziest thing, that I don't have a place or like what to do with all this time I have now.
Yeah, no, people think like, I mean, obviously in travel, there's a lot of spontaneity. Like you're doing a lot of stuff all crazily, and everything pops up, and sometimes you're doing this, sometimes you're doing that. But, I was just talking about this yesterday. I was doing a podcast as well. And yeah, like I'm it's weird because there's way more structure in this way of life than people think, you know, especially when you're doing it as like a media personality, or if you're doing it like with media, like with a podcast or a YouTube channel, whatever. You got to wake up, you got to do your intros, your outros, your B-roll, you got to do the editing, you got to do the music, and you figure out a way and a role with it, you know, how to do it, how to work it into the travel. And so now getting home, literally going to be home with the only thing to put in my hands is my old junkster down there. And I got to figure out, you know, how do I set my life straight so I don't become like a mess in like a month. So
I mean, I've been yelled at. I mean, I was so stressed. I mean, I was pissing blood down in Chile. I mean, I was just working like a dog.
Yeah.
So hard. We're a family. Blum just, dude, have you like gone and like just relaxed and done nothing today? I'm like, no, I'm not gonna. I want to work. I've like somehow transitioned my crazy sports training mentality and psyche that I have with basketball. Like, oh, I got to train. If I train this hard and I work this hard, I'm going to be the best. And I pushed that over to working, which is not healthy.
Yeah.
At all.
You become a workaholic, especially when you love what you do. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. It's a good problem to have, but you got to keep yourself in check sometimes.
It's a good problem, but then you start losing hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you. I'm losing it all over the place,
not
man.
Not you. What are you, 21, 22 still?
Yeah, 21.
21.
About to be 22 next week, I think.
Next week?
Yeah.
It's be early up. Birthday,
thank
dude.
You very much.
Oh, we got to get you an extra slice of pizza tomorrow.
I've had enough pizza today. I'm okay. We could do a birthday pizza.
Dude, that was the most nuts thing. I thought I would be able to exercise every day. I'd be on, like, Periscope just doing, like, oh, there's today's exercise, and I just be bringing people in whatever I was doing. Not happened at all. You know, even eating healthy. It's like, okay, you're going to get your fresh fruits, you know, when you travel. You're not really going to get good vegetation and good vegetables.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, like even in South America, they're like, oh, just a typical plate. You get it for, like, $3. Great deal. But you're getting, like, a piece of meat, 2 to 3 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole plate of rice. Maybe some Fritos Maduros. I'm going back to Colombia in 2 weeks.
God,
I'm really excited to get some Fritos Maduros again.
Oh, my God, I miss those so much.
And, you know, what else is going to be on that plate? But, like, I mean, like almost basically that's it. And if that's all you're going to eat.
Yep.
Like, there is not really a big bulk of nutrition in that plate. You're not getting anything else in there. We're talking about fiber, maybe from the Maduros, but it's just lacking.
Yeah.
And that, again, really wears on you. Getting a coffee every day. You're like, oh, well, I'm in a cafe and everybody else is on vacation. Let me get a cake and coffee just because.
Yeah.
It's so hard to even develop a routine outside of trying to get this work routine going.
For sure. Like, I've been trying to develop a workout / diet routine. I first tried in Israel, failed completely. And then I said, I was on the cargo ship. I was like, yeah, got nothing to do. I'm going to work out. I was got busy doing videos. Tried on the Trans-Siberian. I was like, 8 days on the train. Best way to kickstart into it. Took one step into the Siberian wilderness and I froze my little nuts off. I was like, no way, I can't work out. I can't. All I can do right now is hibernate. And I tried to get in Hawaii. I was like, okay, we're going to start running every day. It's really difficult. It's a lot more difficult than people think so. Especially with the what you were talking about nutrition wise, like when you're living in these countries and you're kind of trying to do like a communal kind of feeling of like what it's like to be in this place and live. You want to taste all these dishes and you want to try all the new fruit and you want to try all the new breads and chocolates and candies and stuff. But eventually, that wears into your nutrition, into your diet.
And that's the thing. I just don't say no.
Yeah.
I don't say no.
That's been a big problem for me. Yeah.
When it's food, you know. There's a bit of etiquette on there. I really pride myself. Like, I think I have good etiquette when it comes to things. Like, just not being disrespectful. Someone's feeding you food. Oh, of course, it's delicious. Keep feeding me. But then it just wears on you. Oh, let's go out tonight. Everybody else is on vacation traveling. And they want to go out. And then that starts to wear on you.
Yeah.
You get wiped out. You don't get sleep.
And you have one of those nights that just sets the whole month into a mess. And you never know.
It's my everyday. But, dude, I didn't even talk to you about the Trans-Siberian. How was that? That's on the bucket list for me.
That is, if anybody's listening here that has some type of nag for travel and has done maybe a little bit of travel and has been thinking about doing something a little bit more epic, Trans-Siberian is the way to go. I think, first of all, there's way more parallels that we can draw between the USA and Russia if you're American. And, like, there are way more things that put us together than put us apart. Like the U.S. and Russia. And it is so cool to go experience that and especially speak to Russian people that live in Russia. And so when you cross this country, forget Russia is not only Russians. Just like the U.S. is a massive continent, one of the biggest in the world, North America is one of the biggest in the world, and there's so many different groups of natives that live there. The same fucking thing happens in Russia. You got all these cool people, and you get to the other side of the planet and realize, like, these people who cross the Bering Strait are the same people, you know, that exist. Like, you have these freaking grizzly bears and totem poles in the middle of Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the same, you know, same concept. So it's super, super interesting, like, learning about culture and seeing the Russian wilderness just past you. It's amazing.
It's the biggest country in the world.
Biggest country in the world.
Forget that. You know, it's not just all white people with blonde hair,
yeah,
like you think about Moscow and St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
You have people of Asian descent, Asian or Orient. I mean, they're neighbors of North Korea, China.
You got North Koreans. We met a bunch of North Koreans while we were there, which was an amazing experience because North Korea has some type of a relationship with Russia where they'll send workers there
to go like chop wood.
Yeah, lumber to do that. But they live essentially under North Korean law. But you get that insight. We had one Korean man that would sit with us every single day on the train for 4 days when we were traveling from the middle of Siberia to Eastern Russia. And I assume he was going to go back to North Korea then. And every day he was trying to teach us words in North Korean, or not North Korean, but in Korean. He had this little English to Korean translator book. And he started with like movie, and then he would go to friendship and like food and yummy and all that. It was such a cool experience. And it's just getting some type of insight of like maybe what's life like that over there, what these people are like.
Well, that's the interesting thing because like, I don't know. I think it's a disservice for me. Or even yourself, you know, you get to travel so much, you get to experience these people, you get to see these things, you get to talk, you know, to a North Korean. Like, oh, today I talked to this person from this place, or this person from that place. You know, I don't look at anybody else besides as a person, you know? Yeah. Or maybe I have a better insight of, you know, politics, history, and, you know, public, blah, blah, whatever. And, you know, you understand how the world works. You understand what happens and why things go on, how much and things are out of your control. But in the end, people are people.
Yeah. Yeah. The world becomes a lot more human.
Those are still human beings over there. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if they do something like this.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if they do something like this.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're going to do, and they're going to do people things. So shit could go really bad.
To the highest degree.
Shit could go really good.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
It's people.
I think it has to do also with a lot with the vibe that you put off. If you're very closed, I feel like you can do all of this, everything that I've done too, circumnavigate the globe per se, and you can be in your own little hermit shell and like not open yourself up to the experience. But the vibe that you emit to other people, being open to experiences, saying yes a lot. The person that I'm staying with right now, his name is Jacob. He's another YouTube friend of mine. He was telling me he's like one of his biggest mantras in life is saying yes a lot to as many things as you can. Instead of saying no or saying maybe or maybe I'll do it later, just say yes. Somebody offers you an experience, whether you think it might be dangerous or sketchy, look into it. Obviously, don't do like them. If someone offers you like a crack pipe on the side of the street, it's like, yes,
or,
I'm doing yes.
Or says jump on this white and black school bus and you're in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Well, maybe say yes for that one.
You can say yes to that one. That's acceptable. Completely acceptable.
So, I mean, yeah, just being open to more experiences and putting off a very positive and like, this. I want to experience as much as I can. Type of vibe. I think it helps a lot. It goes a long way.
Well, I mean, I can give you an example. Right when I got off the train, there was some kid, Korean kid, and you know, even him, he's no problem walking with other people. Hey, how are you? What's going on? I'm trying to get to here. Do you know where to go and how to get there? And I just start shooting a conversation. He ended up being an exchange student at FAU in South Florida.
That's awesome.
And so we had a 561 phone number. I'm just going talking with him back and forth, but we were like the only two strangers. It seemed like just talking with each other.
Right.
Out in the open, at the train station. Like when you travel, or at least the people that are out there and they are experiencing travel are just, at times, it's much more warmer, more receptive. Just
yeah.
Like, oh, hey, how are you? Where are you from? What are you doing today? It's so hard to get warm reception like that.
It's almost like a network of people that kind of get it. You know, they're all experiencing this at the same time. And so I think a lot of people tend to just be like, okay, yeah, like this is a stranger. But it's a stranger that I feel like I know because they're experiencing something very similar to me. But yeah, in the U.S., I feel like you can't really... Like, I walk around the streets here in Manhattan and in Brooklyn, and I had some guy. I was on the phone the other day, kind of lost, and he just stood behind me and was like, get out of my way, man. What are you doing? I was like, geez, Louise, there's so many people. Why you got to get so angry? What's the problem? But I guess you get so caught up living in a place like this or in the city, and it's just you got to rush. You got to run around.
It's definitely true. You know, I'm sure... And again, I'm not even saying Americans are bad people, like, because I'm sure you experience this in every other country you go to. You know, again, these are the people, the travelers we get to connect with and talk with. But, you know, that's probably the biggest thing. A lot of, like, friends and family just can't believe sometimes, like, who is this person you met? You met them on the internet?
Yeah.
Literally, the story about how Daniel and I met you.
Yeah.
Via Periscope.
Via Periscope. It's one of my favorite... We talk about it all. I feel like every time we hang out, we talk about it. It's just such a great story. It's such a cool thing.
I mean, if you aren't meeting like a good friend or a significant other on the internet, I mean, you're not from this time. Like,
you're not fully experiencing
get with
this.
The times.
Yeah, you got to totally.
A girlfriend, a boyfriend, or whatever pronoun you want to be, find them on the internet.
Well, they could just be your perfect friends. Matches out there.
Perfect matches. You're gonna know what you're getting. They're gonna say what they are.
That's true.
Well, you gotta kind of hope they say what they are. Yeah. I mean, that can get you in trouble.
You could do a little independent research. Someone says no to that. You know, you gotta bounce around, take a little look in the catalog, see what happens.
Have you been filled in with the news? Have you stayed up to date with what's going on in the world?
I'm very in the loop with politics. Obviously, traveling in a lot of the sketchier areas in the world, you got to keep an eye out for stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially when I was Russia and near North Korea. It was just around the time where there were a lot of threats happening towards the U.S. So we were like, okay, we got to bounce out to here. But yeah, no, I definitely try to stay in the loop on a lot of things. But I mean, is there anything specific you want to inform me on? Something you want?
No, I want to see if you were filled in. I mean, because at the same time, you know, I was going to Korea for the first time.
Yeah.
But the peace process was kind of getting started, and now fuzzy. That's completely shut down now.
Yeah.
Did they do anything?
What I was reading today is that essentially our wonderful president has said he's backing out of the peace treaty because our wonderful vice president said that the wonderful dictator of this wonderful nation has decided that he wants to throw out, like, false threats against the U.S. And so, from what I've understood, it's not like one of those where it's never going to happen. It's more of like right now is not the appropriate time. We need to get it right, which I can kind of respect from the same perspective. I think there's a lot of pressure internationally on us to like have to do everything right, you know, because we're like the innovators in world peace and all this stuff. But like if we're going to be the cops, let us make our rules. And if it's not the right time, it's not the right time.
Yeah.
It can wait.
It's tough to see. I mean, it's, you know, hearing other Koreans, whether I met them before, went to Korea, or people I knew before, like, they literally just don't trust it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we just don't trust North Korea.
Yeah.
We don't trust what's happening. This has happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough to say exactly, you know, I think what's happening right now, I never heard any threats coming from them. I know we want complete nuclear disarmament. They're not going to give complete. They sent four, you know, hostages back over here as a sign of goodwill. I mean, why aren't we just meeting anyways?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I think we're in a good position right now, even if, like, this meeting doesn't happen in Singapore, to set up another one soon, you know? I think it's just, like, everything needs to be with these two people. We have two very hot-headed people going at each other, and with the world of social media, it's very easy to fall in one of those traps of, like, Oh, I gotcha. And everyone's rallying behind it on either side.
Even though it only lasts for like 3 seconds.
3 seconds. And then everyone's already moved on.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to like run onto that. But I think everything needs that proper time, especially in a time where everything is so like so antsy and so delicate. But I'm sure we're going to get there. I feel pretty confident about it.
Now, you have an Israeli passport, or you?
Yeah, I got Israeli and American passport.
Israeli and American passport. Israelis travel so well.
Yeah.
they're everywhere.
You meet a lot of them everywhere.
Even one in Taganga, northern Colombia, was actually running guns and women, and he got arrested by the government, deported, because he was running guns, drugs, and women out of a hostel.
Oh, my God.
Nuts. Israeli. But then again, I'm like, kind of an Israeli thing.
Yeah. I'm Israeli. We can do it.
He had the full on.
Yeah, he was.
The full
did on. He have the sandals?
Habibi. Habibi.
It's okay. Kol beseder.
Kol beseder.
Sababa. It's all good.
And then literally when we were there, raided, arrested, everything.
That's crazy.
Deported. Do you have any troubles, though, traveling as an Israeli?
A little bit here and there. There's a little bit like, it seems like with this nationality, and I'm a very proud Israeli, but I obviously don't like open every conversation. Well, I'm Israeli, we're the best, this and that. But I am very proud of my nation and my culture and my history. But I think just having that title as being Israeli is like already it's like an opener, no matter who you are.
It's like a little like a flicker, or igniter.
Yeah.
To any conversation,
people always have something to say about it, and I just try to show people that we're a lot more normal than like, it's not fire in the Middle East. It's not Israelis, Palestinians murdering each other on a normal day-to-day basis. There's a lot more peace happening there than there is, I think, fighting. And there's a lot more casual conversations and people, you know, drinking their black Turkish coffee or
their mint tea.
Eating some hummus or their mint tea with nana. Yeah, you know, like chilling out, enjoying Israeli-Palestinian relations rather than killing each other. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, it always comes down to it. And I have trouble because I can't enter like 14 countries with one of the passports, like with the Israeli passport.
Which country?
Malaysia is one, Djibouti, Eritrea, Syria, yeah. Iraq, like a lot of places.
A lot of countries.
I would love to enter Iraq too. It's one of the places I really want to go because that's where my heritage is, but it looks like I might never be able to.
Even with the U.S. passport or like it's...
Yeah, I mean, like travel to Iraq is pretty much like a no-go for any passport.
I made it to the border when I was in Kuwait.
Oh, right. Yeah, you lived really close to there.
I drove all the way up to it.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would love to. That's where my grandpa like was born and raised, mm-hmm. and so, and my grandma. And it seems like a place I would love to see. That's like where my heritage is from. See what it's like. But yeah, it's sad that you can't because there's so many countries that bar you for being Israeli. And then if you are an Israeli American, you can enter with an American passport, but it does put your place in a certain place of danger. Like if I was to enter Malaysia, for example, with an American passport and they were to find an Israeli passport on me, they could hold me, they could question me, they could put me in whatever. You know, who wants to be in a Malaysian prison? I don't
see any hands up in the air, folks, yeah. right now.
If you're holding up your hand, then
the room is
you're wrong.
There's no hands up right now. It's a full house tonight, I'm telling you.
So, and it doesn't come from a place of, like, feel bad for me. It just comes from a place of, like, it's unfortunate. But I don't want to put myself in a place of risk. So I just kind of avoid that certain travel.
No, absolutely. Like you said, though, it's like it's an odd igniter that someone would care. Like, oh, you're from Israel? Like, yeah, I'm a person.
Yeah. I'm still a human.
it's interesting. It's like almost like a, you know, on either side, you know, someone gets reserved. So it's an American to find out if someone's, you know, Muslim sometimes or Palestinian. It's like, oh.
How dare you?
I'm going to look at you differently now. Something's completely changed.
How dare you have those genes from that place?
Or just like someone else who's like, oh, Israeli? Are you Jewish Israeli? Oh.
Yeah, no, I mean...
What's wrong with you? You're doing apartheid on these people out there. It's like... It's a huge, massive, complicated issue.
But it's one of the smallest in the world. It blows out of proportion, but the amount of deaths and the amount of violence that happens there is on a tiny little scale compared to, like, what's happening in Syria or in Kurdistan.
Libya.
Or oh my God, like, most of Africa, most of the African continent. Chicago. More violence happens in Chicago in a day than happens in Israel. Mm-hmm. It's insane. But, you know, the news likes to blow things out of proportion. So I've come to a point where I see this stuff and I say, you're not Israeli, you're not Palestinian. You haven't sat down and had conversations with the people, with both Israelis, Palestinians. I've done that stuff. I've understood. I see kind of where the future is heading with it. And I think you really need to know before you step out of line and start talking about it. Mm-hmm. And there's other major issues in the world that I think deserve so much more attention at the moment from the world, like from the world kind of stage than the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
It's funny you say that, like how minuscule those things actually are, how much smaller,
yeah,
you know, this conflict is. You know, no discredit to either of the people, but like I've done the same thing. You know, I'm on a birthright trip, but like, yeah, guys, I'll see you later. I'm gonna go hang out in the Arab quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go speak a little bit of the Arabic I know. And I'm sitting down with Palestinian shop owners. I'm sitting down with people here, there, and I want to get different perspectives. I want to know what's happening, what's going on, what do they think?
Yeah.
What is this right? Is this wrong? Is what Israel's doing good? You think with about depending? I mean, some people don't even realize there's two factions of the Palestinian side.
Yeah.
You have Hamas and the Palestinian Authority, right?
Yeah, and that's only the governing factions. Don't forget the other populations. People completely disregard the populations of Palestinians living in Jordan, which is mostly Palestinian. Palestinians living in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Egypt.
There are a bunch of
Cyprus,
Kuwait, yeah.
UK. There's tons of Palestinians that all want self-governing, you know, different authorities. So there are two. Those are like that have become governing factors. But I mean, there's tons of populations of them beside there. So it's interesting. What I always try to say, and this is always like my bottom line with it, is like I will tell you my story, my family's history, my relationship with Palestinians or with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But always, 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 do not take what I say as the truth or the fact. Go speak to a Palestinian.
Mm-hmm.
Go and speak to a Palestinian. Before you come to any conclusion, speak to a Palestinian, speak to an Israeli, see what you come up with, and you draw your own conclusion from there. After that, you've done your homework.
Or even go there.
Go there yourself. It's not a dangerous place. It's a super fun, awesome place.
I walked in there by myself. I walked all the way up to Temple Mount on Thursday when you're definitely not supposed to go there on Thursday.
Oh, really? Is that a bad day?
It's a Muslim holy day.
Okay.
And no, so, I mean, unless you can pull it off. which I mean, I had my dishdasha on. oh my god, I didn't even know I had a Hamas dishdasha on too.
Did you really? Some guy sold it. Was it the white and black one?
Yeah. Some guy just sold it to me. Like, oh, I was like, I need more.
They do because they stand in solidarity sometimes.
Yeah, so I didn't know.
Yeah.
So I'm walking around. I didn't get up to the temple. I got all the way up to the gates, like not the entrance that you walk by the Western Wall.
Yeah.
But the other entrance, just through the Arab Quarter and the Armenian Quarter. And there, I was just talking to some IDF soldiers, and they're going back and forth in Arabic. And I was like, okay, guys, I don't know any more Arabic. I'm about to go up here. I'm like, no, you cannot go up here if you are not a Muslim. And yeah. you cannot recite, you know, everything you need to recite, or even just speaking straight Arabic.
Yeah.
Don't do it. So they send me back. So I walk all the way back to the hotel where we're staying on the Birthright trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm walking through Jewish neighborhoods. I got black sunglasses on.
Oh, my God, Brandon. I didn't know this.
Families are changing sidewalks on me. They are freaking out. I'm getting looks. And... You know, Did you
have a big bushy beard at the time?
I had a good beard on me.
Okay.
A little thicker coat.
So you were in full. You were full Palestine.
I was full garb right there. Oil prints, the works.
That's amazing.
And you know, but you gotta realize too. I mean, you can't even go around and fuck around.
Yeah.
Whether you're around Jewish people there, mm-hmm. or even Palestinians, you gotta respect whatever area you're in because.
Oh, totally.
People, I mean, you know, anti-Zionists or very Orthodox Jews will throw stones at you.
Mm-hmm.
They will spit on you.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a piece the other day. About everything going on in Palestine and in Israel right now, and it was going over, you know, the Orthodox,
mm-hmm.
very heavy Orthodox, who, you know, do not want to join the army. They want everything they want they can take from the state of Israel. You know, they want, you know, a certain amount of money. I don't know what it is, the rights. There's certain privileges you get as being an Israeli citizen.
Yeah, certain ones. I mean, what it comes down to really, there's craziness on both sides of it. Certain people have certain rights to enlist in the army if they want to or not. But obviously, because the nation is growing a little stronger and the army's getting a little bigger, there's been some leniency back and forth. And we've been getting a lot of volunteers recently in Israel from abroad, from the UK, from Australia, from Israel, from America. And so there's more of a died down kind of like, if you don't want to, if you really, really feel like it's not your right to serve and it's not something you want to do, you can even do like a year of service for the country and stuff like that. But yeah.
Here's the really interesting thing. So, you know, like, I didn't even know that the evangelical sect here is the biggest donor and lobbyist.
Oh,
have
you heard of AIPAC?
Well, AIPAC's the Jewish one.
Yeah.
They're not even the biggest. The evangelical Christian one is the bigger donor and supporter of Israel.
And they contribute a crazy amount of money.
And you know why? Because they just think Armageddon's going to happen, and the sooner there's a unified Israel, then Jesus is going to come back, and they're donating all this money.
Hey, listen, the Jews aren't going to say no. We're happy with it. Listen, I mean, what it comes down to is, like, if they feel like that's their purpose, like, that's what they need to do, sure. It is a little weird that it all comes from a religious aspect, but I think there's this crazy thing called Jerusalem Syndrome. Have you ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
It's a thing that when you enter the city of Jerusalem... Anyways, it's a type of thing that people claim that when you enter the city of Jerusalem, the second you pass through the old city walls, you get hit with all the history, with all the spirits of the people who went through there, because through Abrahamic religions, every major key factor or player in the Abrahamic religions has lived or passed through Jerusalem at some point in their life. If they haven't lived there, they've had some type of spiritual awakening from there. And so I feel like for these evangelical Christians and stuff, a lot of them do these little trips. They're called like Jesus tours through Israel, and they'll go to all the sites from his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the sites is obviously the old city of Jerusalem. And a lot of them claim that when they enter the city walls, they get hit with this rush of like, this is right. This is the place. This is where it's supposed to be. I'm getting hit with all the energy of the past.
They're the worst.
Hey, I reserve.
Because I was watching a piece on it, and like, there's like, oh, well, yeah, if you know what rapture and you know, in the book of Revelations, mm-hmm. whatever everything's going to happen. And once there's this unified state of Israel, and then Satan comes on earth, and all the Christians are being raptured, well, the Jews are going to be left here, you know, but you know, all the Christians are going to be saved. So we're trying to push and spend all this money. We're going to spend all this money because we think there's a story of a potentially fictional character who's going to come back. And once he's back, he's going to save us. He's going to leave everybody else on earth. And then Jesus is going to back and fight them.
Yeah.
And we're going to go live on some clouded... What's the city in... Cloud City in episode 5 of Star Wars. They're going to go live in Cloud City with Lando Calrissian.
Oh.
And Han Solo and
Chewbacca there too?
Carbonite. Yes, of course.
An Israeli Chewbacca who loves falafel and pita and hummus.
How many Israeli Chewbaccas are there, though?
I am one in the flesh. All I'm missing is a sound. What is it?
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
There's either. That lady. I posted a video. She has like 72 million views on this video. And the Chewbacca mask moves. Mm. And it also makes the noise.
Oh, shit.
So it moves to her face. Like, so it recognizes it. And she'll be, like, moving her mouth up and down. And the Chewbacca mask is moving. And then it'll give a...
That's closer than... That was a lot closer than mine. I did, like, a pigeon noise. I got a bad Chewbacca.
No. So, what is your take on it? You told me, like, oh, well, listen, there's a lot more stuff going on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
People are having conversations. Is it just being blown up? Is there much more hype on it than there actually is?
Totally. 100%. I think, like, you should, if you get a chance to go, you should go. And I think it is such a peaceful place rather than a violent place. And there tends to be these little upticks in violence, but no more than what happens in Chicago on a day-to-day, or no more than what happens in New York on a day-to-day, or Detroit, for that example. So I think you shouldn't be scared of what's happening on the ground there. You should focus on maybe things that are happening outside of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that could be contributing to maybe the pressures that are happening between these two societies and the two clashes. And I think overall it's a great place. It's a freaking fantastic place. I think Palestinians are great. I think Israelis are great. Like, if you have conversations with both of them, you realize Israeli Arabs, Palestinians, the Druze people, the Bedouins, they all got it going on. The culture is so rich, so awesome. The food, the flavors, the music, everything is so cool. And so it's a lot cooler than it is angry and heated, I think. So
everybody wants to be right. Everybody wants control of the land, you know. And I mean, there's like those three terms or three keys that everybody wants, you know. It's Palestinians want to literally be able to go back to the land that was their ancestors and take that land back.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they want to do that in a state of Israel or they want to do that under a Palestinian land.
There's a certain side that says they want to, I mean, the Hamas side says that they want to clear the Jews out, like, no Jews at all, this is our country. And there's another side, people from the West Bank, that are a little more relaxed on it, even though there is a lot of extremism there. But you get that also from ultra-Orthodox, like, Jews, and you get it from non-Jews, too, ultra-Orthodox, like, evangelistic Christians or whatever, that say no Palestinians, only Jews. So it just depends. It depends.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Hopefully everybody at home doesn't hear that block right there.
Yeah.
I think we're good here.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen, dude. It was short, but it's sweet.
I love you, Brandon.
Love you too, man.
It's so much fun, man.
I run into you all around the world.
We should do it again sometime. Should we choose some central spot like Tanzania or something next time?
We got to choose a much more risque spot.
Top of the mountain, Kilimanjaro. Well, we'll do a podcast there.
Like I said, hopefully next season of Save the Dina Tour. Japan. I'm thinking India.
I like India.
It's crazier.
I'm planning on India.
It's much more extreme. To drive, to import an American school bus to India.
That would be crazy.
That would logistics. Be the ticket.
Maybe you need a cargo ship.
Let's take it to Kashmir.
I'm down. I'm down, man.
People don't realize it's one of the most hostile places on planet Earth.
I'm down.
You're in?
I want to go see snow leopards, so let's get it up there. And I forgot the name.
Himalayas?
Ladakh. Ladakh is like the place. Mm. Snow Leopard Central.
Well, here's a new saying. I'm got to make t-shirts this one.
Okay.
Sounds gay. I'm in.
That's the name of the t-shirt?
It's going to say that on the t-shirt.
Sounds gay, I'm in.
Everybody loves that shirt. It's the most appropriate, neutral saying where no one gets mad. Everybody's like, yeah.
It's pretty great.
Sounds gay, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in.
I love it.
It doesn't offend, so far. I don't want to say everybody. Yeah. It doesn't offend anybody. Everybody loves it.
That's pretty good. That's not bad.
Love you, bud. I'm excited for that pizza shoot tomorrow. This show's going to be out tomorrow.
Yeah, make sure.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Let the people, at least my people who haven't listened to you, people who are going to listen to the show, where they're going to find you, where they can connect with you, and what you're planning on doing in the next few months.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can find me on thetravelingclat.com. That's my kind of like hub at the moment, but mostly youtube.com/thetravelingclat or thetravelingclat anywhere on the internet. You'll find me on Instagram, on Twitter, whatever. And I'm just wrapping up circumnavigating the globe. Coming back to Miami, my home base where I started from, and kind of rerouting the next steps. I'm sure you're going to see me and Brandon again soon together at some point, whether it's digitally or in person. We'll figure out a way to...
Collaborations are afoot.
Yeah, we're working on things imminently.
You saw that trailer. That trailer's going to be big.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. But make sure you check out my channel because Brandon's going to be on it real soon with a pizza video, which is going to be sick. So, yeah, I'm excited. Excited to come back again.
Big times. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in the show. Remember, if you like the show, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And if you loved it, I mean, come on, who's not going to love this? leave us a 5-star review. Those reviews are big. They mean a lot to us, and it helps people just like you who love the show to find the show if they haven't found it already. And make sure you go check out our YouTube channel. Folks, we just finished traversing the continent of South America with our school bus, capturing so many incredible stories. I mean,
it was epic.
Amazing conversations. We have big trailers, a lot more pilots soon to come, hopefully a documentary. So head over to YouTube. That's going to be at On The Bus Podcast, and you're going to see a bunch of videos, a lot of our podcasts, a lot of recorded podcasts. It's just stuff you want. Hit that subscribe button, and please share it. More people share, the more people can find this incredible stuff, the more people can collaborate and work and team up alongside with us. That's what this thing's all about. And don't forget to hit up those affiliates and our sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
Green Roads World. I got that CBD oil. I'm up here in New York now. Those guys sent us amazing CBD oil. And On The Bus Podcast is giving you a 15% discount. So head over to greenroadsworld.com. Use promo code ONTHEBUS, O-N-T-H-E-B-U-S, lowercase, one word, and you're going to get yourself 15% discount. And lastly, the Amazon portal at On The Bus Podcast. Thank you, everybody who shops on there. There's going to be music playing.
Just keep dancing. Just get that Amazon going, like, baby.
We're going to find a way. Oh, yeah.
Amazon affiliate links are the way to go, ladies and gentlemen.
The bus is out.
Wait, are we on the bus or off the bus?
You got to ask. You can't afford it. That's Rule 63.
Right, that's true. This is the moment for those who...